Hello, everyone. To kick off this new podcast on love and relationships, I'm putting a call in to Diane Crone of K Chocolatier in Beverly Hills.
Hello.
Hi, Diane. This is RB Watts from the Psychology Podcast. Thanks for talking with us. Can you tell us a short story about some of the romances you've encountered while working in your chocolate store?
Many years ago in New York, my husband and I started Crone Chocolatier, and I've come back into business in Beverly Hills under the name Kay. And many people from 25 years ago remembered the chocolates, and they come running into the store saying that this was the chocolate that they proposed with. And that swept her off her feet, so that every anniversary I would say several people in Los Angeles and people in Dallas and people in New York and in Honolulu and in Florida where we had our stores who call me, and prior to their anniversaries and every year they buy the chocolates that they remember from their courtship from 25, 26 years ago.
Thank you, Diane. That was perfect.
It was fun talking to you. Best of luck with your podcast.
Well, today on the sixth installment of the Psychology Podcast, sponsored by the Department of Psychology at Texas Tech University, we have three experts available to talk to us about what it means when we feel completely in love early in the relationship, and then some insight onto how to help maintain a long-term relationship. Here with us, we have Dr. Clyde Hendrick and Dr. Susan Hendrick. Both hold faculty positions at Texas Tech University and have published various books and articles on the topic of love. And Dr. Lucy Brown, professor in the Department of Neurology and Neuroscience at the Albert Einstein College of Medicine at Yeshiva University. Dr. Brown's research on love has been featured in National Geographic, Time Magazine, and the New York Times. So to get us started, what's so important about love? I mean, why study it?
Love is a universal of the human condition. No infant can survive without love. No adult can survive well without love.
Let's talk more about the initial stage of love, romantic love. Now, Dr. Brown, I know some of your research on the brain has dealt with what it means to be in love. Can you tell us more about this sort of research?
So for this research, we did what's called a functional MRI study. We looked into the brains of people using MRI technology while they were looking at a picture of a person they love, and while they were looking at a picture of someone who they weren't emotionally attached to.
What did you conclude from this research?
When we started out, we thought we were studying an emotion, we were studying euphoria. But in retrospect, when you think about it, really our emotions vary around romantic love. When we're in love, we can be anxious. We can be angry even at the person we're in love with. So romantic love is more like a motivation. The person is a goal in your life when you're in the early stages of romantic love. The person is more like food or water to the person in love. So rather than look at romantic love as an emotion, we've decided it's better to think about romantic love as a motivation, as a driving force. It's more related to reward systems that developed very early in evolution for us to learn how to find food and water. And that's important to understand people who are in that state, people who can't let go of another person. It's a strong drive to see their beloved and experience emotional union with that person. Actually, some of the systems that are active are very similar to cocaine addiction systems.
Thank you, Dr. Brown. Now I'd like to switch gears a little and talk about what it takes to keep a relationship going. Dr. Clyde and Susan Hendrick, as far as I understand, your love attitude scale tells someone about his or her specific approach to love.
Yes, even if you don't actually take the instrument that we've developed, the love attitude scale, you can begin to hear the descriptions: passionate love, friendship-based love, game-playing love, practical love, manic love, and altruistic love. And you can begin to perhaps place yourself in those categories and figure out your own type.
In your theoretical analyses, you've referred to a passionate lover as having an eros love style and friendship-based lover as having a storge love style. Can you give us an example of how these two types of people might interact?
Well, let's say that the Eros person has a birthday and is looking for something. Say it's a woman, and she's looking for a dozen roses and maybe a romantic evening. And in fact, her storge partner, knowing that she's been having a lot of trouble with her car recently, has arranged to get her car repaired and fixed up and washed, and borrows the car, gets it all taken care of, brings it home, and says, you know, here, sweetie, happy birthday. I knew that you needed this taken care of, and I really wanted to take care of it for you. And she bursts into tears, and both are just a little bit at odds with each other. Well, once she calms down, she realizes that, no, he wasn't being thoughtless. He was being very thoughtful. He was being a storge lover. He was thinking about her welfare, what she needed. He just wasn't so much into the moonlight and roses as she might have wanted him to be. So she can make positive construals or attributions about what he's doing. It's not bad, it's not good, it's how my partner is.
Have either of you noticed any trends between gender and love attitudes within the past 30 years or so?
One thing that has not changed is that men are invariably more ludic than women. They're more game-playing, if you will, than women. And that has, I don't think we've ever had a sample that didn't turn out that way. Women used to be more agapic or altruistic, but in the past 10 or 12 years, men tend to be significantly more or higher on the agape scale. So these are interesting cultural changes, we think. The scales predict relationship satisfaction extremely well, and Eros is by far the strongest predictor, not only for college students, but for old married couples as well, in contrast to what people might expect. So if the flame of Eros burns bright, marital satisfaction stays high.
Well, I want to thank all three of you for joining us on the Psychology Podcast. It seems to me that even though this honeymoon phase fades the longer you're with someone, it doesn't mean that your relationship with your partner has to fade as well. Try to understand what you want out of a relationship and also what your partner wants. And then try to work with each other in order to come to an understanding. Your partner may not always act in the way that seems to make the most sense to you, but it may just mean that he or she has a different love style. Enjoy the difference. And as for me, I'm going to have some chocolate. Thanks everyone for listening. To learn more about the Texas Tech Psychology Podcast, please visit www.psychology.ttu.edu. This podcast was produced by Dr. Frank Durso, edited by Paul Derby, and relayed by myself, R.B. Watts. Stay healthy and active, and have a great day.